नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पादचात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। We have been discussing from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, and in that we have been discussing Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, Sarartha Varshini. So, we have been discussing last many weeks about the nature of soul and body, the Sankhya philosophy. A simplified Sankhya, you can say. Of course, the Sankhya is a little bit more complicated than this and detailed. The Bhagavatam Sankhya is more detailed. Bhagavad Gita Sankhya is little simplified. It does not go into much details. It basically sticks to the difference between body and soul while not elaborating much on what constitutes the body, the gross and subtle. Bhagavad Gita does not go into those details, but Sankhya of Bhagavatam goes into detail of those discussions. Anyway, but after describing the Vedic philosophy of Sankhya, Krishna indicates that, oh Arjuna, even if you may not accept the Vedic conclusions, and if you may accept some deviant philosophies which were prevalent during those times, he says that even if you accept these deviant philosophies, still there is no need for you to lament. That's what he is telling. We will see, you know, in three verses he describes some deviant philosophies. The first verse is 26th verse, where he says, Atachainam nityajatam nityam va manyase mritam tatapitvam mahabaho nainam shochitum arhasi. He says, my dear Arjuna, I have clearly presented to you the nature of the body and the nature of soul. Soul never dies, and body, there is no sustainability. You know, it never sustains. It always dies. But even if you may not accept this conclusion, Atachainam nityajatam nityam va manyase mritam. If you consider that the soul is always born with the body and it always dies with the body, Tatapitvam mahabaho nainam shochitum arhasi. Still, you don't have a reason to lament, O Arjuna, because, you know, there is no sustenance for the soul, right? It is born and it dies. So, what are you lamenting for? So, still, you don't have any reason to lament. And for that reason, why you want to not perform your Kshatriya duty, your Kshatriya dharma. And then he speaks Karmavad. So the first philosophy is Buddhist philosophy. The Buddhist philosophers, at least one kind of Buddhism, there are multiple branches of Buddhism, but one of the popular branches of Buddhism says that the soul is born and the soul dies. The soul is born with the body and the soul dies with the body. So even though they accept something like soul, but they actually reject that the soul is eternal. They don't accept the principle that the soul is eternal. So it's a very vague philosophy. It is almost like materialism only. You know, materialistic people do not accept soul. The Buddhists accept soul, which is not eternal, which means it's as good as body only, right? So then there is he speaks Karmavad or Karma Mimamsa. where he says, Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityur dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. Tasmad aparihariyarte natvam shochitum arhasi. He says, everyone who takes birth has to die, and everyone who dies has to take birth again. So therefore, since both are unavoidable, why do you lament? This actually seems like a very valid argument, but there is a big flaw in it. Not everyone who takes birth needs to die. Not everyone who dies need to take birth again, because those who are qualified for liberation, they can attain liberation. For them, there is no birth again, right? As Krishna says, that janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetti tatvatah tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti so arjuna. He says, one who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities, they don't have to take birth again, and they will attain me after giving up this body. So not everyone who dies need to take birth again. Those who are qualified for liberation, they do attain liberation. But these people who speak Karmavad or Karma Mimamsa philosophy, they don't accept anything called as liberation. So they don't accept anything like liberation. So just hold on for a second. They don't accept anything like liberation. So that is the problem, actually. So Krishna says that even if you may accept this kind of a philosophy, still there is no need to lament, because anyone who dies is again going to take birth and he is going to get a new body. And anyone who takes birth will definitely die. So therefore, by your lamenting, this is the law of nature. You cannot stop the law of nature, so why lament for it? That is Krishna's point of view here. Then he speaks another deviant philosophy. Avyaktadini bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakta nidananyeva tatraka paridevana. He says that avyakta adini bhutani, the living entities are invisible in the beginning. They are manifest in the middle and they become invisible at the end. So why lament for this? Only for a very short duration of time are the living entities actually manifest and visible. So which means anything which has a manifest presence only for a very short duration of time, it is not substantial enough. So you should not be lamenting. Like this, Krishna is presenting very various different deviant philosophies, and he says, even if you don't accept the philosophy, the proper Vedic philosophy of the understanding of the nature of body and soul, and if you have these kind of deviant understandings, still you should not be lamenting, Arjuna. Why you should lament? There is no reason for lamenting. So whether you accept the right philosophy or the wrong philosophy, any of these deviant philosophies, still there is no need for you to lament. So therefore, you should fight. And don't stop fighting and keep lamenting. Okay. This is what Krishna ended the last week that we saw. And now he is going to conclude the section of the Sankhya, the nature of body and soul. In two verses, he is going to conclude this section, and then he is going to give arguments for why Arjuna should fight based on other reasons. So based on the reason of karma. So, but this is like a quick recap of what we saw last week. Any quick comments, discussion points before we move on to today's section? Anything anyone would like to share, add? Okay, if there is nothing, then we will continue our discussion. Okay. Now, he Krishna says, this is a famous Ascharyavat Pashyati Kaschidenam Ascharyavat Vadati Tataiva Chanyaha Ascharyavat Chainam Anya Shrunoti Shrutvapyenam Vedana Chaiva Kaschit. He says, Kaschit Pashyati. Some people see or they realize Yenam Ascharyavat. Some people realize the soul with amazement. They wonder, wow, how amazing it is this soul, this concept of soul. Some people realize the soul with amazement. Ascharyavad vadati tataiva cha anyaha, and others speak of it in amazement. Ascharyavad cha enam anya shrunoti, others hear about the soul with amazement. And someone may hear about it with amazement, someone may speak about it with amazement, someone may realize or see it with amazement. Still no one knows it at all. Shrutvapi enam vedana chaiva kaschit. Those who are hearing about it, those who are speaking about it, and those who are seeing it or realizing the soul, or they think that they are realizing the soul, they don't really know about it. They don't really know what it is. So what is the meaning of this verse? Srila Vishwanatha Thakur says, what an astonishing thing you are describing. And it is so astonishing that though I am being enlightened by you, my lack of discernment does not go away. So Arjuna is telling. So Arjuna is telling to Krishna this. My dear Krishna, what is this thing? What is this soul that you're talking about? You know, I am so mesmerized. The details that you're giving are so mind-blowing. It seems like I'm understanding, but I'm not understanding anyway. But I'm not able to understand anything. So what is this very astonishing thing that you're talking about? It just seems like I'm understanding something, but I'm not understanding anything. So can you please explain? What is it that you're talking about? What is this soul and, what is this? Please, can you please explain to me? So he says, Krishna says, yes, the Atma is truly astonishing. With this intention, the Lord then speaks this verse. See, the point is, we have also heard about the soul so many times, to the extent that sometimes we feel irritated. That, my God, Prabhupada, I have heard your philosophy so many times. Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is not just you are not this body, you are the soul. Why are you repeating it so many times? How many of you have felt like this? Can you please raise your hand? Come on, whatever lecture you have to say, I am not this body, I am the soul. You are not this body, you are the soul. How many of you have felt that, Prabhupada, there are so many other things in Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, why you are repeating just this one thing? How many of you have felt? Just one? Rest all have not felt like that. Right? So a few more are raising your hands. So the point is, but how many of you have caught yourself? Okay, now you can put your hands down. I have seen. Please put your hands down. How many of you have felt that, how many of you have caught yourself acting on the bodily platform? Practically, for this, many people should raise their hands, I think. Right? We always act on bodily platform. So we hear about the soul, it seems to make sense, but somehow we are never able to not act on the bodily platform. Anything immediately, we act on the bodily platform only. Right? So therefore, Ascharyavat Pashyati Kaschidenam. some people think that they have realized that the soul, but the nature of the soul and the body. Ascharyavat vadati tateva chanyaha. Some people may give very big lectures about how the difference between body and soul and all that. Ascharyavat chainam anya shrunoti. And some people may constantly hear lectures about the nature of body and soul. Shrutvapi enam vedana chaiva kaschit. But even though people may talk about it, hear about it, may think that they have realized the nature of the soul, but still no one understands about the soul, which means they don't really realize it. Because it is so difficult to act on the platform of the soul, it seems like next to impossible. The concept may seem to be very easy to understand, but almost impossible to apply. Right? So, is there something else in this world where there is so much disparity between our knowledge and realization? More than this nature of body and soul. The concept seems to be so easy to understand, but absolutely impossible to apply. Any small agitation here and there, we always respond on the bodily platform and never on the platform of the soul, even though the difference between body and soul seems to be so easy to understand. This is ABCD of Krishna consciousness. This is not even Krishna consciousness. This is before Krishna consciousness. Very basic information. But still, absolutely impossible to apply. So difficult, right? That is why this Atma is so astonishing. Such a basic concept, but practically impossible to apply it, right? Yes, the Atma is truly astonishing. With this intention, the Lord then speaks this verse. The word enam in this verse stands for the soul and the body, the combination of both which constitutes the whole world. So the meaning would then be, yes, people see this combination of soul and body which constitutes all living beings as amazing. So enam refers to both the soul and the body. So this combination of soul and body is so amazing. So astonishing that it's very difficult to understand. You understand you are not the body, but you are. It's impossible for you to apply that principle. So that's what here Krishna is telling, that yes, this is certainly very astonishing. Arjuna, don't think that you have aced it. I have spoken about it. You have heard about it. You have nodded your head. It seems like you have understood it. But then, the next moment you try applying it, you will fail miserably. That is how astonishing this is. Like that. So, this is the nature of soul. Ascharyavat pasyati kaschidenam. Ascharyavat vadati tataiva chanyaha. Ascharyavat chainam anya shrunoti. Shrutvapi enam vedana chaiva kaschit. Like that. So, this is almost the concluding verse, one of the concluding verses where Arjuna, Krishna says that I have spoken so much about the soul and body, and it may seem like everything may seem to make sense, O Arjuna, but see how astonishing this concept is, that it is almost impossible for anyone to apply this principle, which means no one has really realized it. That's what he's indicating. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions on this topic? Anything anyone would like to share, add? Okay, let's continue then. So final verse in this theme about the nature of body and soul. So Krishna concludes in one verse summary of the whole thing. He says, Dehi nityam avadyoyam dehe sarvasya bharata tasmat sarvani bhutani natvam shochitum arhasi. He says, O Bharata, I am Dehi Sarvasya Dehe, the soul in the body of all the living entities, Nityam Avadyaha. It is eternally undestroyable. It cannot be destroyed. It can never be killed. Tasmat, therefore, natvam shochit marhasi, you should not lament sarvani bhutani for any being. So in essence, understand, O Arjuna, that the soul can never be killed. Therefore, you should not be lamenting for any living entity. This is the essence of this whole section that Krishna has spoken. This is the summary. Okay. Therefore, speak clearly. What should I do and not do? So Arjuna may ask this. Arjuna to Krishna. Okay. So Krishna says, do not lament, but rather fight. In two verses, Krishna explains this. So do not lament, just fight. Like that. So this brings us to the conclusion of this section on Sankhya, the nature of body and soul. Now he is going to discuss on the platform of Karma Yoga, because some of the arguments that Arjuna presented, that I will not be able to enjoy, I will not be able to go to Swarga, I will only suffer if I fight this battle and all that. Arjuna is telling, Krishna is going to tell him that, oh Arjuna, you think that by fighting that you cannot enjoy. Now I will tell you. Okay, someone is asking, is Dehi here refers to Jiva as the owner of the body or Krishna as the owner of the soul? Definitely Jiva, the owner of the body, is what is being discussed here as Dehi. Dehi Nityam. Of course, even if you take it as Krishna, then that Dehi is also Nityam only. So, anyway, that's what he is indicating here. Any final comments? Anything about the Sankhya that we have discussed? Because we are going to leave Sankhya here and move ahead. Okay. If there is nothing, then we will continue our discussion. So now, Krishna says that Swadharmam api chaveksha navikampitum arhasi dharmyaddi yuddha shreyonyat kshatriyasyana vidyate. So now, actually, if you see, Krishna is telling here, oh Arjuna, forget about the nature of body and soul. Let us speak, because you said that if you fight, it is adharmic because you will have to kill your own kinsman. Okay. Now let us see whether your argument that this is not dharmic, whether it is right or not. He says, Swadharmam apicha aveksha, even considering your own duties, navikampitum arhasi, you should not be fearful. Because kshatriyasya anyat shreyana vidyate, for kshatriya there is nothing better than dharmyad hi yudhyat, than fighting for the right cause. You see here, Krishna is telling, even though towards the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshayishyami moshuchah. Krishna says that give up all dharma and just surrender unto me. He says that. But at that time, Krishna had elevated Arjuna to the adhikar of bhakti. But right now, Arjuna, he is gradually elevating Arjuna. Arjuna is on the level of Sakama Karma Yoga, because he had made some arguments on the level of Sakama Karma also. He said, this is not dharma, I will not be able to enjoy. Because the question of material enjoyment comes only on the level of Sakama Karma Yoga. Because when a person reaches the stage of Nishkama Karma Yoga, the argument is not on the platform of enjoyment. The argument is on the platform of, there is no liberation. Okay. Because a Nishkama Karma Yogi or a Jnana Yogi or an Ashtanga Yogi, they speak in terms of liberation. But Arjuna did speak. He says, what is that? గురు నహత్వా హి మహానుభావాన్ శ్రేయో భోక్తుం భైక్షమపీహ లోకే అత్వార్థ కామాంస్ గురుని హైవ భుంజీయ భోగాన్ రుధిర ప్రదిగ్ధాన్. మై డియర్ అర్జున, ఇఫ్ ఐ కిల్ మై గురు అండ్ మై గ్రాండ్ ఫాదర్ అండ్ గెట్ దిస్ కింగ్డమ్, క్యాన్ ఐ ఎంజాయ్ దిస్ కింగ్డమ్? బికాస్ ద కింగ్డమ్ విల్ బి యునో టెయింటెడ్ విత్ ది బ్లడ్ ఆఫ్ మై ఓన్ గురు అండ్ గ్రాండ్ ఫాదర్, సో ఐ విల్ నాట్ బి ఏబుల్ టు ఎంజాయ్. And so many arguments about, you know, I will not be able to enjoy, I will not be able to enjoy, and I will not get swarga, I will become I will get infamy, and all these arguments Arjuna presents, these are all arguments on the platform of sakama karma, enjoyment, right? But these arguments are, even on the platform of sakama karma, these are faulty arguments. And Arjuna can never make such arguments. It's impossible. Arjuna can never make such arguments. So we have to understand, again and again I will repeat this. This is a very critical principle to understand. Arjuna is an eternal associate of Krishna. There is no chance for such an eternal associate of Krishna to be bewildered by the three modes. It is not at all possible. Okay. Arjuna cannot even have doubts on the platform of bhakti. What to speak of karma, jnana, yoga. In fact, none of these 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita is an injunction or instruction for Arjuna. Because Arjuna is on the platform of bhakti. So he need not be instructed on the platform of sakama karma or nishkama karma or jnana or ashtanga. There is no need. And on the platform of bhakti, only a sadhaka needs instruction. But a siddha, a perfected devotee, and what to speak of a nitya siddha, he does not need any instructions on the platform of bhakti also. So the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita are either instructions on the platform of sakama karma or nishkama karma or jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga or bhakti. And Krishna, Arjuna being a nitya siddha, does not need instructions on any of these platforms. But still, yoga maya has put him in such a bewildered state that he acts just like a person, exactly like a person under Mahamaya. So people who are not yet perfected, whether they are on the platform of sakama karma, materialist, whether they are on the materialistic platform or sakama karma or nishkama karma, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, or even the sadhaka stage, they are sort of under Mahamaya only. They are bewildered. They have questions. But yoga maya can put a nitya siddha, if it is Krishna's desire, it is not impossible for yoga maya to put even a nitya siddha devotee under all these kinds of bewildering situations and make him ask really absurd questions so that Krishna can give the right understanding. So Arjuna, for him it is impossible to get bewildered about any of these things. He will never give these kind of arguments at all. But this was all enacted. This was all a grand enactment which was directed by Yoga Maya. And Yoga Maya put Arjuna under this kind of an illusion. And under the spell of Yoga Maya, Arjuna is speaking just like a person who is bewildered by Mahamaya. Okay. So this is all a drama. Arjuna can never have these kind of questions, right? So because Arjuna made these points, I will not be able to enjoy. This is not dharmic. This is adharma. I will get sin. I will suffer for this sin. And all those arguments, which are in one sense ridiculous arguments. Okay, anyone who knows the Dharma Shastra will understand that these arguments are not valid arguments. Okay, But still, Arjuna is making these arguments so that Krishna can speak some Dharma Shastra. Krishna can speak some Dharma Shastra so that people can understand what is proper Dharma. Krishna can speak some Jnana Shastra so that the Jnana Yogis can understand what is proper Jnana. And he can speak some Yoga Shastra so that the Ashtanga Yogis can properly understand what they are supposed to practice. And he will speak some Bhakti Shastra based on which all the Bhakti Yogis can understand what is the right Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. Like that. Okay. So, there is a question or comment. Let me read it. It's in the chat box. There is an analogy to explain this. A teacher writes on the board the letter A to teach the students how to write the same. Though it appears that the teacher is undergoing the writing process, but it is not that the teacher is learning. He already knows it. He is going through the writing process only to teach us. The same for Arjuna. Yes, almost same, but just that Arjuna here is not, he does not know that he is acting. You know, he has been, he is being manipulated by Yogamaya. He is being manipulated by Yogamaya. Okay. So, Arjuna has been given some injection by which he is going to hallucinate now. I mean, something like that. Okay. So there the teacher exactly knows. Here the teacher, you can say like Krishna is the teacher, and he has, through his agent of Yogamaya, he has bewildered Arjuna, and using Arjuna as a prototype, he is teaching everyone. That is why if you see even in the Gita Mahatmya, it is mentioned, Sarvopanishado Gavo Dogda Gopala Nandana Partho Vatsaha Sudhir Bhokta Dugdam Gitamritam Mahat. It is mentioned. Sarvopanishado Gavo. All the Upanishads are compared to cows. Dogda Gopala Nandana. The milkman is Krishna. Partho Vatsaha. This is a very interesting point. Arjuna is the calf. Generally, okay, here there will be lot of, I'm going to make a point and people are going to smash me for this. I'm ready. Okay. Partho Vatsaha, he says. Okay. Partho Vatsaha means Arjuna is the calf. Okay. Sudhir Bhokta. Bhokta means what? The enjoyer. So who is the enjoyer? The enjoyer of cow's milk is primarily not the calf. Cow's milk is primarily meant for the human beings only. Okay. That is why Arjuna is called the calf, but he is not called the bhokta. The bhokta is Sudhir. Sudhir bhokta means the intelligent people who will accept the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and who will understand the conclusions of Bhagavad Gita, they are the Sudhir. They are called Bhokta. Arjuna is not called the Bhokta. He is called Vatsa. Vatsa means calf. The calf is not mentioned as Bhokta. So primarily, cow's milk is meant for human beings. So anyway, that is not the point. That is just a side point. But the point is, Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdam Gita Amritam Mahat. And the milk is the teachings of Gita. Right? So, therefore, if you see, Arjuna is not really the recipient of this Gita. The recipient of Gita are all of us. So, he says that, my dear Arjuna, even if you consider on the platform of your duties, you did say that it is adharma. You did say that as a kshatriya, you should not be doing this. You should not be killing your own kinsmen. But what kind of dharma are you talking about? Swadharmam api chaveksha navikampitum arhasi. Even considering your own duties, you should not be fearful. Why? ధర్మాది యుద్ధ శ్రేయోన్య క్షత్రియస్యన విద్యతే. ఫర్ క్షత్రియ దెర్ ఇస్ నో బెటర్ థింగ్ దాన్ టు ఫైట్ ఫర్ ద రైట్ కాస్ దాన్ టు ఫైట్ ద ధర్మ యుద్ధ. ఓకే, సో హియర్ శ్రీల విశ్వనాథ చక్రధర్ సేస్ బికాస్ ద సోల్ కెనాట్ బి డిస్ట్రాయిడ్ యూ షుడ్ నాట్ ఫియర్ కిల్లింగ్. దిస్ వాస్ స్టేటెడ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ వర్స్. అండ్ కన్సిడరింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ వ్యూ ఆఫ్ యువర్ పర్టికులర్ డ్యూటీస్ since there is nothing better than fighting for dharma, you should not fear killing. That is the relation of the two verses. So one thing is, you know, because the soul can never be killed and body, whether you kill or not, it will anyway die, so therefore you should fight. And then if you are worried that okay, I will fight, but it will not be dharmic, no, he says even considering whether it is dharmic or not, this is the highest dharma for a kshatriya like you. So therefore, if you see, Krishna will be giving to Arjuna contradictory instructions throughout Bhagavad Gita. Okay, here he says like elsewhere he will say hatova prapsasi swargam jitva va bhokshase mahim. So Arjuna, if you are killed, you will go to swarga. If you win, you will get to enjoy the kingdom, therefore you should fight. So he is telling fight because you will get enjoyment out of it, either in this world or in the next world. So then to the same Arjuna, Krishna says కర్మణ్యేవాధికారస్తే మా ఫలేషు కదాచన మా కర్మ ఫలహేతుర్బుర్నాతే మాతే సంగోస్తు కర్మణి. హి సేస్ మై డియర్ అర్జున, జస్ట్ డూ యువర్ డ్యూటీ బట్ డు నాట్ ఎక్స్పెక్ట్ ఎనీ రిజల్ట్. సో నౌ దిస్ ఇస్ లైక్ టోటలీ కాంట్రడిక్టరీ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్. ఆన్ వన్ సైడ్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ టెలింగ్ డూ యువర్ ధర్మ బికాస్ ఇఫ్ యు ఎంగేజ్ ఇన్ యువర్ ధర్మ అండ్ విన్ యూ విల్ ఎంజాయ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్. If you engage in your dharma and die, you will enjoy in swarga in the next world. Okay, so this is, so therefore you should fight. And later Krishna says karmanyevadikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. Do your duty Arjuna, but do not try to enjoy the fruit. This is contradiction. And towards the end of Bhagavad Gita he says సర్వధర్మాన్ పరిత్యజ్య మామేకం శరణం వజ, గివ్ అప్ ఆల్ ధర్మ. సో త్రీ కాంట్రడిక్టరీ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్. ఫస్ట్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ ఈ సేస్ యునో ఎంగేజ్ ఇన్ యువర్ ధర్మ దెన్ యూ కెన్ ఎంజాయ్. సెకండ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ ఈ సేస్ ఎంగేజ్ ఇన్ యువర్ ధర్మ బట్ డోంట్ ట్రై టు ఎంజాయ్. అండ్ థర్డ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ ఈ సేస్ గివ్ అప్ యువర్ ధర్మ ఓన్లీ. రైట్, three instructions, all three are contradictory to each other, right? The first instruction is contradictory to second and third both, right? Or the third instruction is contradictory to first and second both. At least there is something common in the first and second instruction, which is do your dharma. Third instruction says don't do dharma only, give up your dharma, he says. Give up all these kinds of dharma and just surrender unto me. So now we have to understand in the whole Bhagavad Gita, Krishna in just 1.5 hours is raising the qualification of Arjuna from Sakama Karma to Nishkama Karma to Jnana Yoga to Ashtanga Yoga to Bhakti Yoga. So Krishna is very quickly raising the qualification, and therefore the instructions given in Bhagavad Gita are for people with particular qualification. So therefore you cannot take any verse from Bhagavad Gita and say Bhagavad Gita says so I should do this. No, the Vedic scriptures speak in terms of adhikar. Just because you see a verse in Sanskrit does not mean that that verse is meant for you to follow. Okay, if you go to if you go to a let's say if you go to a bookshop if someone, if a boy goes to a bookshop and he says, please give me an NCERT physics book. Please give me an NCERT physics book. What will the shopkeeper ask him? What will the shopkeeper ask him? Will he give him the NCERT physics book or not? What do you think? Yeah. First thing he will ask is, which grade? Do you want 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade? Which grade do you want? Okay. So similarly, you know, Bhagavad Gita or Mahabharat or Bhagavatam, all these things, they speak for particular audience only. So the other people who have a different qualification, they should not say that, oh, the book says this, so I should follow. It is not like that. The instructions of the Vedas are not, they are universal in the sense it is the Vedas are universal, but the instructions of the Vedas are not universal. They are specific. They are meant for people with particular adhikar. Okay. So because there is only one hearer in of Srimad Bhagavad of Bhagavad Gita, and that one hearer is actually not fit to receive any instructions because he is a Nitya Siddha, he does not need any instructions. But still, Krishna orchestrates this whole thing by allows Yogamaya to bewilder Arjuna and gradually raises Arjuna. You know, first Arjuna, the instructions will be on the platform of Arjuna the Sakama Karma Yogi, then Arjuna the Nishkama Karma Yogi, then Arjuna the Jnana Yogi, Arjuna the Ashtanga Yogi, Arjuna the Bhakti Yogi. You know, so the same Arjuna will be gradually raised and at different levels the instructions will be given. So this is a very critical aspect of any scripture. You cannot say Mahabharat says this. Oh, Mahabharat says this, okay, but for whom? Oh, Padma Puran says this. Theek hai, par kiske liye? Just because Padma Puran says this does not necessarily mean it's speaking that verse for you. Because scriptures don't speak like that. Scriptures speak for specific audience of specific adhikar. This is a very critical point. You should understand this. Okay. So, therefore, here he says, now he is telling, Swadharmam apichaveksha navikampitum arhasi dharmaddi yudhya shreyonyat kshatriyasya navidyate. Arjuna, till now I told that based on the understanding of the nature of body and soul, why you should fight. But if you say, okay, I understand the nature of body and soul, but is this not adharmic? For me to kill my own kinsman? Oh, if that is the platform on which you want to talk, I will also come to that platform. What are you talking about adharma? Dharmadhi yudhyat shreyonyat kshatriyasya na vidyate. For a kshatriya to fight for the right cause on a dharmic battlefield is the highest dharma, whether you win or lose. So what dharma are you talking about? Even on the platform of dharma shastras, even if you base your arguments on the dharma shastras, your arguments are not valid. Your arguments are invalid arguments. That's what here Krishna is telling Arjuna. Okay, any quick comments, discussion points on this theme? Anyone, anything anyone would like to share and? Okay, there is a question in the chat box. How do we know this verse in Bhagavad Gita is for Karma Adhikari, this verse is for Bhakti Adhikari? Very simple. The Acharyas will tell you. You just have to see what the Acharyas say. That's all. So therefore, none of these books are meant to be studied and understood with our own intelligence. You know, we have to just follow the purports. So without the Acharya's illuminations, what can we understand actually? We cannot understand anything. Okay, next question. how will the audience know what their adhikar is? That is why they have to be connected to a live parampara. They have to be connected to a live parampara with advanced mature devotees who can guide people according to their adhikar. So of course, you know, we should know what our adhikar is, you know, what is bhakti adhikar, you know, if you have, we don't have to look elsewhere. Let's first try to understand whether we have bhakti adhikar or not. Okay, forget. Now, what is bhakti adhikar? Okay, let's try to understand that. How do we know whether I am qualified for receiving the instructions on bhakti yoga from Bhagavad Gita? Or should I receive the instructions about karma yoga from Bhagavad Gita? Or should I receive instructions about jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga from Bhagavad Gita? How do I know that you say that I have qualification for bhakti. Are you sure? How do I know that I have qualification for bhakti? Okay. So, what is that qualification for bhakti? Okay. So, let me just add one slide here. I will just add one slide. Let's do an exercise and see. Okay. So therefore, which are the verses that we should accept? So I will just share the screen. Let's do this small exercise. Okay. So how do we know if we have qualification for bhakti or not? Okay. How do I know if I am qualified for bhakti? Okay. How do I know this? Okay. So there is a classic verse. Okay. There is a classic verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. The first, many of you, those who have been hearing my sessions for a reasonable duration of time, I often quote this verse. So you might have heard this many times, but this is for the benefit of those who have not been hearing me for a long time. So, okay. So let us see. First, the first thing is, Jata Shraddho Mat Katasu. Okay. Jata Shraddho Mat Katasu means he has faith in the process. Okay. So faith in the process. Faith in Navada Bhakti. Okay. Then, faith in the devotees. Okay. That these are the people with whom I want to spend my life if I want to progress towards my goal. Okay. One has faith in the devotees, faith in the process, faith in the books. Books means Bhakti Shastras. Okay. What Prabhupada has given, what Srila Prabhupada has given, we have faith in that. Okay. And then the fourth is faith in the parampara. Okay. So the disciplic line in which I have come, parampara starting from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Shat Goswamis, and then later Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, they are not here to cheat me. They are here to take me back home, back to Godhead. Okay. This faith. So this is the first symptom that one is qualified for bhakti. Okay. Jata Shraddho Matkatasu. Okay. Second is Nirvinna Sarvakarmasu. Okay. What does this mean? So this means apart from bhakti or the limbs of bhakti, I don't need to do anything else for my spiritual progress. Okay. No need for karma, no need for jnana, yoga and all those things. Bhakti karunga to sufficient hai. Okay. Nirvinna sarva karma su. Then the third is Veda Dukkhatmakam Kaman. Okay. Which means I understand that any endeavor for sense gratification will eventually lead to suffering. Okay. I know if I try to do some gratification, it will eventually lead to suffering. But parityage api anishwarah. Okay. But I am not always able to say no to sense gratification. I know that if I endeavor to do some sense gratification, it will eventually lead to suffering. But you know what? I am not able to say no to sense gratification all the time. Sometimes I succumb. Parityage api anishwarah. Tato bhajeta mam prita shraddhalu dhrida nischaya. Jushamanascha tan kaman dukko darkamscha garhayan. Okay. Then the fifth symptom, he says that Jushamanascha tan kaman dukko darkamscha. Dukkodar kams cha garhayan. Whenever I succumb to sense gratification, I feel regret and remorse. Okay. I feel regret and remorse. It may be less or more, whatever it is, but it is there. So, how do I know whether I am qualified for bhakti or not? See, if you don't fall within this category, then we can try to see whether you will fit in the category of karma or jnana or yoga. But let's see, because many people may think that they fall within the category of bhakti. So I am giving the, not all these categories need to be there, because those who are more progressed, they may not have some of these symptoms. I am giving the least lowest common denominator definition of qualification of bhakti, qualification for bhakti. This definition, not all these points may apply to very advanced devotees. But at least for beginner devotees, this definition fits. Okay. So while I'm going to repeat this qualification points, please try to introspect and see whether you have this symptom or not. Okay. And at the end of it, I will ask you how many of you think you are qualified for bhakti. Then if you feel you are, then you can raise your hands. Okay. So now I am going to one by one go through these 5 points. Please introspect. And then I am expecting that everyone should answer. There are 28 devotees in this session right now. So I will ask both the questions, whether you feel you're qualified or not qualified. I am expecting that, yes and no put together should come 28. So please all of you answer this question. Okay. So now, first thing he says is, Jata Shraddho Mat Katasu. So such a person who is qualified for bhakti, he has faith in the process. Okay. He has faith that yes, Navada Bhakti Karne se Mera Adhyatmik Pragati Yoga. If I practice Navada Bhakti, I will progress in the path of bhakti. Faith in devotees. Oh, these devotees are the people with whom if I associate, I will progress on my spiritual path. Faith in the books, ye jo Prabhupada ji ne jo diya hai, the books that Prabhupada has given will certainly help me progress on the path of devotional service. I don't need anything else. And faith in the parampara. This Guru Shishya parampara, starting from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right till Prabhupada and his followers, they are not here to cheat me. They are here to take me back home, back to God. Okay. So, these are the four symptoms, four aspects of faith. Okay. Second is Nirvinna Sarvakarmasu. Nirvinna Sarvakarmasu means apart from bhakti, do you think that I need to do some karma or some jnana or some yoga to progress? A person who has faith in bhakti, even if it may be weak faith also, he thinks, Navada bhakti karne se adhyatmik pragati ho jayega. I can progress spiritually. Of course, in order to maintain your body and your family, you may have to perform some occupational duties. We are not talking about that. But for your spiritual progress, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sikyam Atmanivedanam. That is sufficient. One should have that faith. Third thing, Veda Dukkatmakam Kaman. Whenever, I get this desire to do some sense gratification and I endeavor in that direction, I end up suffering. Some kind of suffering comes, But you know what? Even though I know that sense gratification will lead to suffering, Parityagi Api Anishwaraha, I am not always able to say no to this sense gratification. And then the next question is, okay, sometimes when you are not able to say no to sense gratification and you succumb to sense gratification, what do you feel? Bura lagta hai. I don't feel good. Itna kharab lagta hai. I feel bad. I feel ashamed. So I feel very regret and remorse. That, I should not have done this. Why did I do this? This is not appropriate for a devotee to do like this. Krishna will not be happy. My guru will not be happy. There is a sense of regret. So this is actually the basic qualification. This 4 and 5, these symptoms may not be there in an advanced devotee. Right. Even though there may be regret for past materialistic life, even though right now they may not have any material desires or any material, impurities, but they may regret, they may have a feeling of regret for past materialistic life. But still, 4 and 5 does not apply to advanced devotees. I'm giving 1 to 5. All these 5 will apply for, the beginner devotees and those who have still not crossed Anarthana Vritti. Okay. So now my question to you is, please answer either for yes or no. At least one you have to answer. My first question to you is, how many of you think, you have to raise your hands, okay? How many of you think that you have qualification? Your adhikar is for bhakti. You are qualified for bhakti. Okay. Please raise your hands. I am also going to raise my hands. I don't know for what, but I will raise my hands. Oh, okay. As a host, I think I don't think I can raise my hands, or can I? I don't know. Anyway, okay, let's see. 18 people have raised their hands out of 27. I will count myself out. So, okay, 18 has become 19 now. Please, you introspect and answer. Don't please raise your hands because other people are raising. Okay, so 19 out of 27 have answered that yes, I think I have qualification for bhakti. Okay, now you all can please put your hands down. Please put your hands down. Now, those of you, based on this definition, those of you who think that you are not qualified for bhakti, you can please raise your hands. Okay, 1, 2. 1, 2. So 19 plus 2 is 21. 19 plus 3 is 22. Still, 5 devotees have not raised your hands for either. Okay, still it is fine. Okay, 2 people have raised their hands. Now, I want each one of you at least to type on your chat box and let me know why do you think which of these 5 symptoms you think you don't have, or you may say that you don't have any of these 5 symptoms because of which you don't have qualification for bhakti. So please type on your chat box and let me know why do you think you don't have qualification for bhakti? Which of these symptoms are not there in you? You can put your hands down and type it on the chat box, then we will discuss about it. In the meantime, you can put your hands down. In the meantime, let's see. I think I saw something on the chat box. So this was about how will I know what is my adhikar? So let us not ask about other adhikaras. First thing is we have to know whether I am called, whether I have bhakti adhikar or not. So this is a simple question that we can ask ourselves. Do I fall within this category? If these 5 symptoms are there in me, or at least the first 3 symptoms, then my adhikar is for bhakti. I don't have to think about karma, jnana, and yoga, right? I don't have to think about that, right? So there is another question in the chat box here. While the 2 devotees who raised their hands for, I don't think I have the adhikar for bhakti, they are going to give their explanations. I'm hoping they are typing in the chat box. So there is a question here. When we preach to new people based on Gita, then what should be our approach? First thing is we should understand Gita perfectly. That is the first aspect of our approach. We should understand Gita properly, and we should know which sections of Bhagavad Gita talk about what and for whom and all that. And we should have a fairly good understanding of the level of the audience also. Otherwise, in general, when you are giving a very generic Bhagavad Gita class where you don't know your audience, then it is better to present the teachings of bhakti only. Why? Because you have to, when you don't know your audience, then you have to present that which the institution stands for. The institution stands for bhakti only. Okay. The institution stands for bhakti. So when you are giving a generic class where you don't know your audience, better to present the bhakti perspective, because that is what our institution is, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi Kriyatam Yadi Kutopi Labhyate. So this is Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi. That is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Okay, Krishna consciousness means Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. So that is what our institution stands for. So better you speak on the platform of bhakti only. But if you individually know a person, if you are individually addressing a person, and if you understand what their adhikar is, then accordingly you can guide them. But ultimately, as practitioners of devotional service, you can give him the faith that you have. If you have bhakti shraddha, you can, if you clearly see that he does not have faith in bhakti, then the best approach is create an opportunity for him to get some ajnata sukriti. That's all. You don't have to speak to him about karma yoga and all those things. All that we need to do is create an opportunity for him to accumulate some ajnata sukriti. That's all. We don't have to do anything else. So, okay. There are a few more questions in the chat box. I don't understand properly that every endeavor for sense gratification leads to suffering. I think that it will not always cause suffering. For example, we enjoy prasad or good food nicely, but we don't suffer always. But opulent prasad is also sense gratification. Well, yeah, see, the point is subtly, you know, we may not know, we may not have full conviction, but we know that any endeavor for sense gratification will lead to suffering. At least, okay, let me ask a question. You know that I am enjoying good food today. So the fear of, we will definitely have fear that today I got good food and I'm enjoying it. But because I have enjoyed it, tomorrow if I don't get good food, the suffering will be magnified because of that. At least that fear will be there. Whenever we get good things, then the fear of losing it, a kind of suffering that will come due to losing that good thing will always be there. So any sense gratification, even though this is for this, you don't have to be even a devotee. Even a non-devotee knows this. Any good thing that you enjoy, there is always a fear of losing it. Right? So you don't have to... you don't have to be, this is not rocket science. So actually, the qualification 3, Veda Dukkatmakam Kaman, you don't have to be a devotee to have this qualification. Any person who has some common sense, who can think and introspect, he knows, because that is the nature of material world. Adhyantavanta Kaunteya, Nateshu Ramate Buddha. Nateshu Ramate Bhaktaha, he does not say. Nateshu Ramate Buddha. If he has little intelligence, he will understand that every good thing will come to an end. If I get attached to it, if I start liking it too much, then I will suffer when it goes away. And it will go away. Right? So like that. So therefore, you even materialists do understand that attachment to sense gratification will eventually lead to suffering. If they are introspective, they don't have to be devotees. Okay, so okay, then next question, isn't jata shraddho matkatasu is mainly qualification for bhakti, but rest can be for jnani and dhyani yogi also? Well, yeah, nirvinna sarvakarmasu, here sarvakarmasu refers to for a devotee, sarvakarmasu refers to karma, jnana, yoga, everything. So for a jnani, it would mean, you know, karma and yoga, like that you can say. You have to redefine what is nirvinna sarva karmasu. Yeah, Veda Dukkatmakam Kaman applies to jnana yogis and dhyana yogis. But parityagya api anishvaraha cannot apply to jnana yogi, because only when your heart is completely purified by practice of nishkama karma yoga can you come to the stage of jnana yoga, because jnana yoga is actually a very advanced stage. So yeah, like that. Okay, so the explanation that they are giving why they think that they are not qualified for bhakti is that I am missing full faith in 1A and 1D. That is, Navada Bhakti is the only process, or are there others? Okay, thank you for being very, very explicit about it. We may not have full faith. I am not talking about strength of faith. I am talking about purity of faith. You may not think, are you convinced that Navada Bhakti is not sufficient and you need something else? Or your faith in Navada Bhakti is little weak? This is a very important question, because there is a difference between weak faith and impure faith. Weak faith means the conviction is weak, but impure faith means you know for sure that Navada Bhakti is not sufficient. Actually, I need to perform something else. If you think like that, then that is mixed faith, right? And 1D is faith in the parampara. Our faith in the parampara may be weak, but if you don't have any faith in the parampara, then definitely, you know, you are not yet qualified for bhakti, you know, or pure devotional service. Also, there are so many that claim to be the only genuine parampara. So how to ascertain ISKCON is the only correct parampara? I did not say that ISKCON is the only correct parampara. There are four other authorized paramparas, as you have rightly said. You can have faith in any of those four qualified paramparas, then you are qualified for bhakti. That is the point. It's not, I am not telling only only ISKCON is the only bona fide parampara. No. Okay. And another devotee who raised his hands for, no, I don't think I have qualification for bhakti. He says that because of 0.4 and 0.5. So if you say 0.4, parityagya api anishwarah, I am not always able to say no to sense gratification. Then it is good. I said that, fourth and fifth does not apply to very advanced devotees. But what I am guessing is that you say fifth one. If whenever you succumb to sense gratification, you don't feel regretful. I think that's what you are referring to, not the fourth one. Because if fourth one, if you are always able to say no to sense gratification, you must definitely be a very advanced devotee. But I guess you are indicating the fifth one, that whenever you succumb to sense gratification, you may not feel regret. So, is that right? You can please type in the chat box and let me know. Is that right? Yeah. Now my question to you is, do you not feel even an iota of regret, or are you concerned that there is not so much regret? There is very little regret. Is there little regret or no regret? What is your concern? I hope there is little regret. That is okay. That is okay. The more you progress, the more your regret will increase. Okay. At least little regret is there. So which means you are qualified. So that is the point. Don't be too harsh on yourself. I am not talking about an advanced devotee. I am talking about struggling sadhakas like all of us. Right. So I am sure if you actually introspect, most of you have qualification for pure devotional service. So therefore, we need not be concerned so much about the instructions given for karmis, jnanis and yogis like that. Okay. Any quick comments, discussion points on this theme? Anyone would like to share anything? Please raise your hands, or you can type in the chat box. Anyone? Is it clear? Okay, if there is nothing, then we will continue our discussion. So here Krishna in the 31st verse says, Swadharmam api chaveksha navikamkritum arhasi dharmyaddi yudhyat shreyonyat kshatriyasya navidyate. Okay, there is a question in the chat box. What about point one, whereby we have faith, but implementing it practically is not up to par, like not reading as much. It's okay. That's fine. So, which means, see, again and again, I'm telling, see, as long as, which means we are not progressed enough on the path of bhakti. It's not that we don't have qualification for bhakti, but we are not so highly qualified for bhakti. That is the point. We may not be so highly qualified, but we do have qualification for bhakti. Okay. Okay. When we say qualified for bhakti, sometimes out of humility, some advanced devotees may say that they are not qualified. That's okay. If they are advanced devotees, they don't have to say that they are qualified. Just looking at them, we can easily understand that they are qualified. So they don't have to say that. Okay. So for them, we don't have to take their words. Their acharan is so clear. Their words need not reflect their faith. Their activities so clearly reflect their faith that you don't necessarily have to ask them this question actually to get an answer for this. Just looking at them, you know. If you know what is the qualification, what are the what are the symptoms of qualification for a bhakti, then looking at that person, you can immediately say that here he is a person who is qualified for bhakti. We don't have to rely on his words. Okay. So if there are no further questions or discussion points, I think we will move on to the next verse. Arjuna is telling, Krishna is telling Arjuna here, Swadharmam api chaveksha navikampitu marhasi dharmyaddi yudhyat shreyonyat kshatriyasya navidyate. Even considering your own duties, you should not be fearful, because there is nothing better for a warrior than to fight for the right cause. This is an argument that he is making on the platform of karma, dharma. Okay. Then Krishna says, Yadrichaya chopapannam swargadwaram apavritam sukhina kshatriya partha labante yuddhamidrisham. Sukhinaha kshatriya partha. Happy are those kshatriyas, happy are those warriors. Labante idrisham du yuddham. Who obtains such a battle? Huh? Yadrichaya cha upapannam, which comes just without any effort. Okay. You did not do any effort, or someone, if a kshatriya gets an opportunity to fight a dharmic battle without endeavoring for it, he will be extremely happy. Huh? Why? Swargadwaram apavritam, because it opens the door to heavens. Okay. So you should be happy, Arjuna, because if you die, you get to go and enjoy in heaven. Right? So that's what he's indicating here. You will get to go to heaven and enjoy. So this is certainly on the platform of Sakama Karma Yoga. Right? Okay. So then, here Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, moreover, more than even the victors, those who die in a just battle attain happiness. By killing Bhishma and others, you make them happier, because they will get to go to Swarga and enjoy. They don't have to suffer here to staying with Duryodhana. Huh? Do you think it is so much fun staying with Duryodhana? You kill them, they will go to Swarga and enjoy. Even without doing Karma Yoga, one can attain Swarga through the battle without any obstruction. Apavritam. They may not perfectly follow Karma Yoga, but just if the Kshatriyas get to fight on a dharmic battlefield and they die on a dharmic battlefield fighting, just by that act of fighting on a dharmic battlefield, they will get to go to Swarga. So apavritam, without any obstruction, they will easily attain. They will, their doors to heaven will easily open up. So you should, so therefore you should fight, Arjuna. Definitely you should fight. Like that. I will take one more verse and then I will pause for some discussion points. Then Krishna says that Ata chetvamimam dharmyam samgramam na karishyasi tatasvadharmam kirtim cha hitva papam avapsyasi. On the other hand, ata chet, if you, ata chetvam, if you na karishyasi, if you do not take part imam dharmyam samgramam, in this righteous battle, swadharmam kirtim cha hitva, then you will give up your duty and fame, tataha paapam, you will reap only sin. Okay. Ata chetvam imam dharmyam sangramam na karishyasi. You said that by fighting this battle and killing your kinsmen, you will incur sin and you will become infamous. But it is the opposite. If you do not fight this dharmic battle, then you will lose your duty. You will not be performing your duty, so you will get sins and you will become very infamous. Okay. You will become very infamous. So that's what Srila Vishnu Jagadakur says. In four verses, he describes the fault in doing the opposite. Okay. Any quick comments, discussion points? Okay. If there is nothing, then we will continue. Next he says, Akirtim chapi bhutani kata yishyanti te vyayam sambhavitasya chakirtir maranadati richyate. Okay. Okay, there is a question here in the chat box. So according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Lord is not motivating Arjuna for Sakama Karma for himself, but accept the opportunity for Bhishma. Well, either way you see, whether Bhishma will get, Bhishma will, if Bhishma gets Swarga, then you will get to enjoy the kingdom. If Bhishma gets the kingdom, then you will get to enjoy in Swarga. So either way, Bhishma or you, if you fight, both of you will get enjoyment. So please fight. That's what he's indicating. Well, okay. So another question here in the chat box. When we advance in bhakti more, we come to know that we are not qualified. Well, it is not like that. Okay. There is a difference between an actually unqualified person who is not qualified for bhakti and an advanced devotee who out of humility, he feels that he is unqualified for bhakti. Okay. How? Very simple. An actually unqualified person, he will take shelter of karma, jnana, yoga, everything. But an advanced devotee who out of humility feels that he is not qualified for bhakti, he will actually feel that he is unqualified, but take shelter of the process of bhakti and the lotus feet of Krishna all the more powerfully. Okay. So then you understand that this person, so there you don't trust his words. You see what he is taking shelter of. Right? So that is what. When advanced devotees say that, oh, no, I don't have qualification for bhakti, then you ask them. So then you look at them, what they do. Are they doing karma? Are they doing jnana? Are they doing yoga? No. Avyartha kalatvam, they will non-stop be doing bhakti only. They will be constantly chanting. Prabhu, why you are chanting so much? Only 16 rounds you're supposed to chant, right? They will say, no. That is for qualified people. I am not at all qualified. I am very unqualified. Like His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj used to chant 40, 42 rounds every day, waking up so early. Why? He says, oh, because I am born in a very degraded family. I am not at all qualified. So I have to do more. So out of humility, he was thinking that he was not qualified. If he was not qualified, then he should not be doing bhakti, right? But these people will end up doing so much bhakti. So that is how you see. So the more one is, one progresses, the more one will feel that they are not qualified. But if they are, really qualified, then they will take more and more shelter of bhakti, actually. Okay, another question here. What is the name of the commentary written by Sri Vishwanatha Thakur and Bhagavad Gita? It is called as Sararta Varshini. Sararta Varshini. Okay. Okay, there is another long question here. Okay, let's see. Many times I feel prema is very far. Yes, of course, prema is very far. It requires good Vaishnava relationships also, which is very difficult for me. Well, maybe right now, but if you have the desire and the right prayers, then definitely one can get it in future. So yeah, I always think to go for Salokya. Don't do that. But then I again think Lord will not personally reciprocate with me in case of Salokya. So I give up that option also. Good choice. But many times I get this thought of Salokya. So it means my pure devotional faith is very weak because my prayojan of Krishna prema is not so strong. Earlier I was getting thoughts of Sayujya also. Now I have shifted to Salokya at least. Yeah. I mean, it is just, you know, yeah. Many times, you know, like when you think that, you know, you are going to catch a train, and your compartment is like 10 compartments ahead, and suddenly the train starts moving. So you realize that if I run to get my compartment, then I may miss the train. So let me just get into the train in whichever compartment it is, and I will move through the vestibule, and then I will cross, and then I will reach my compartment. Like that one may think. So I am sure when you are thinking that Salokya bhi chalega. So at the back of your mind, my guess is that you must be thinking Salokya bhi chalega, par udhar jaake, you know, I will associate with all everyone in Vaikuntha will be devotees only. Na? There will be so many devotees in Vaikuntha. I will associate with them, and then I will develop Krishna prema also. Because bhakti is yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. Bhakti can be practiced everywhere. So if bhakti can be practiced in the material world, it should be all the more easy to practice bhakti in Vaikuntha. I am pretty sure that at the back of your mind, you know, such calculations may be going on. I mean, I don't think otherwise, you know, you would really want Salokya, especially knowing that in Salokya Mukti, the Lord may not reciprocate with you at all. So I think this must be your thought process. This is what I am guessing. Anyway. Okay, there is a question here. Most of us engage in some kind of preaching based on the discussion today, do we need some minimum qualification for preaching? Well, this is a slightly different topic. You know, I don't want to take up this topic right now because we are already, you know, it's already time, 9:30. Generally, after 9 o'clock, I pause for some non-Bhagavad Gita related, non-topic related some questions. But somehow today I got a little bit carried away. So, and we did take a lot of other questions here and there. So I just thought, you know, maybe I should cover some portions. But anyway, it's time now. So I think we will pause here. Thank you very much for your patient listening. And hoping to have your association next week also. So today is what, Friday? So Saturday, Sunday, it's off for you. Please take good rest, chant nicely, and And if you have missed any sessions during the week, it's time for you to catch up. So we will again meet for discussions on Monday. But the Japa sessions will be there. Those of you who are joining Japa sessions, there is no chutti for Japa. So please do join the Japa sessions if you can. Every day 5 to 7, we have Japa session. 5 to 7, 7:30, 8 o'clock, whatever you feel comfortable, you will get some association to chant. So please do join if you have an interest. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.